I'd like to turn to the book of John, chapter 4. We looked at these verses this morning. We again like to read verses 3 through 10, and then we'll also read verses 28 and 29. John, chapter 4, begin reading with verse 3. He, Jesus, left Judea and departed again into Galilee. He must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. It was about the sixth hour, about noon. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. And said Jesus to the woman of Samaria, Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Verse 28, The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come see a man, which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Again, this is just a portion of the biblical record of Jesus meeting, conversing, and saving this woman of Samaria. What we have illustrated here is Isaiah 65 and verse 1. I am found of them that sought me not. She came to draw water, and she met Jesus Christ. I am found of them that sought me not. In verses 5 and 6, Jesus arrives at Sychar, city of Samaria. He's sitting on Jacob's well. He's waiting for this particular woman of Samaria. Her intent, or his intent, is that he is going to save her soul. We read in verse 7, There cometh a woman of Samaria to that very spot where Jesus was. Her reason for coming, as we stressed this morning, is to draw water. Verse 7 makes that clear. So Jesus and this woman are now at the same place at about the noon hour. He is there for her. She is there to draw water. Jesus initiates a conversation with this woman. Verse 7, Jesus said unto her, Give me to drink. The conversation between Jesus and this woman, you can read from verses 7 through 26. It's all recorded, the conversation that went on between these two. Again, Jesus initiated the conversation. Had it not been so, she would have drawn the water and went back home to her normal routine of life, never knowing the one who was sitting on the well that day. Again, she came to draw water. Don't forget why she's there. She's not there seeking Christ. She's there to draw water. This is her purpose. Jesus initiates his conversation with her, and he directs the conversation that would ultimately lead to her coming to know him and being saved. Again, verse 7, she came to draw water, like she had so many other times. But this day would be different, because on this day, Jesus is there. Verse 9, we see that all she sees in him is that he's a Jew. That's the only thing she sees. She came to draw water. In light of that, we read verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city. In light of the fact that she came to draw water, this statement that she left her water pot and went into the city is very unusual. It's a mystifying statement. So you take those two statements. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And then the other statement, the woman then left her water pot. Those two statements do not equate without an explanation. If you just read those two statements, she came to draw water, and she left her water pot, you would have to ask, what happened? What happened? She came to the well with her water pot. Why did she just leave her water pot? Something must have happened to cause her to leave that water pot. Something out of the ordinary had to happen between these two statements. In the verses between these two statements, tell us what happened. Now back in verse 10, we stressed this morning, Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, if thou knewest the gift of God, if you really knew the gift of God and who it is that saith unto you, if you really knew these two things, thou wouldest have. You would have acted accordingly. She did not know who he was. To her, he's a Jew. She did not know. But by the time you get to verse 26, she knows. A great change has taken place. Between verse 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and the woman left her water pot. Well, this morning, we put the emphasis upon salvation. If thou knewest, if you really knew who Jesus is, if you really knew the salvation that is in Christ, you'd cry out to him. And we place the emphasis upon salvation. Tonight we want to place the emphasis upon the Christian life. The subject is those who know manifest a change in their life. So again, we want to put the emphasis upon the Christian life. But first of all, we need to consider some erroneous views concerning Christianity. Concerning the word Christian. In Acts 11, verse 26, we read of a people that were called Christians. In that chapter, we see Jesus Christ is being preached in the city of Antioch. In verse 20 of Acts chapter 11, when they were come to Antioch, they spoke unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. The result was, in verse 21, a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. So this was more than a belief in just some facts about Jesus Christ. This was a belief that led to them turning to the Lord. It was a belief that caused a change and a shift, an alteration in their life. They believed and turned to or in the direction of the Lord. In verse 22, the news reaches the Jerusalem church, and they, of course, send Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. And Barnabas comes, and he observes these individuals. He observes them in their daily routines. He observes them in their daily associations. He observes them in their business practice, and he listens at their daily conversation. He observes their trials and their difficulties and their sufferings. And in it all, it says that he saw the grace of God. That is, he saw evidence that these people had turned to the Lord. He saw a very definite difference in their walk, in their talk, in their attitudes, and in their thinking. There was a manifest evidence that these people had believed and turned unto the Lord. And it's these individuals, verse 26, that had believed and turned unto the Lord that were called Christians. They were noticed to be loyal to Christ, and therefore they were called Christians, followers of Christ. They were observed to be devoted and committed to Jesus Christ, and they were called Christians. And we say that because today there's a modern brand of Christianity that is anything but. And it is simply associated with religion and its formalities. It is a Christianity that has nothing to do with Christ. It's a Christianity that has no real interest in Jesus Christ. In fact, it is a Christianity that is opposed to Jesus Christ and His teaching. It is a Christianity that has nothing to do with the Word of God. A Christianity that will argue against the Word of God and has ideas contrary to the Word of God. It's a Christianity that will even mock the Word of God. It is a Christianity that allows plenty of the self-life, leaves plenty of room for human reasoning and human philosophy, and it leaves all kinds of room for the world and the ways of the world. A Christianity much like the Samaritan woman who, when she first came to the well, she knew nothing of the salvation that was in Christ, and she knew nothing of Christ. But biblical Christianity is far different. Biblical Christianity is more than being raised in the church. It's more than attending the church. It's more than being active in the church. All those things, those are good things. It's more than being raised in a Christian home and then incorporating those teachings into your life. It's more than listening to preaching. It's more than even believing truth. It's more than singing and listening to spiritual songs. It's more than reading Christian material and being amongst God's people. Christianity, real Christianity, is not a mere addition to your life. You live like the world, but you have this one addition on Sundays you go to the Lord's house. Christianity is not a mere addition to your life. It's not something that you take up occasionally and then put down. It's not a mere surface influence. Christianity is not something that you have to remind yourself of. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. It's not something you take up as a duty. It's not a burden. It's not a weight that you are carrying. It's not just some vague influence in your life. It's not a life that you can control. But it's a life that controls you and dominates you. That is true Christianity. And you see that in Acts chapter 11. So we want to view tonight Christianity is based upon what took place in our text here in John chapter 4. That's where it has its basis. The first thing we notice is something out of the ordinary had happened to this woman. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. The woman then left her water pot. Between those two statements, something momentous has happened. A momentous change has taken place. She came to draw water. And water, like today, was an extremely valuable commodity. You have to have water to live. The difference from our day is that someone back then had to carry the water to the house. And the water pot was the means of doing so. And therefore, the water pot was essential to survive. You had to have a water pot. So, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. That's an ordinary statement. Nothing extraordinary about that statement. But that statement makes the ending statement very curious. She left her water pot. She left her water pot. Now, if you and I were to go to a well in those days and see a water pot just sitting there, we would probably look around, see if anybody was around. Seeing that nobody was around, we would probably assume that water pot must have a hole in it, must be cracked, must have a leak. Because no one is going to leave a perfectly good water pot sitting at the well. But you pick the water pot up and you examine it. There are no cracks. There are no leaks. And there it sits. A perfectly good water pot. That'd be very odd. It'd be very odd. Somebody has left a perfectly good water pot at the well. Such would be thought-provoking. Why did they do that? There was nothing wrong with the water pot. So you begin to wonder, why did someone leave this perfectly good water pot at the well? And eventually you would come to the conclusion something must have happened. Was there a crime? Someone have to rush off? Something out of the ordinary had to happen because you just don't leave a perfectly usable water pot at the well. But there it is. The woman left her water pot. Something out of the ordinary has happened. Something very significant has taken place. Something noteworthy has transpired. We see what has taken place is a change has taken place. Again, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. As we said this morning, when she came to that well, what was her main concern? To draw water. That was her only concern. But the fact that she left her water pot without drawing water reveals something has changed. Something has changed with her main concern. Drawing water is obviously no longer her main concern. No longer her first interest. There has been a change. There has been a change in what matters in this woman's life. The fact that she left her water pot means that there was something of greater concern to her than the water pot. It was her routine to carry the water pot to the well and to draw water and to bring it home. But she left her water pot at the well. Something has interrupted. Something has changed her ordinary. Something has interrupted and changed her routine. Again, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. That was her intent. She went to the well that morning with this intent to draw water. She went to the well that morning. Her focus was to draw water. Her state of mind is to draw water. Her objective is to draw water. Her desire, her priority is to draw water. But the fact that she left the water pot proclaims loud and clear something has changed. Something has changed. Something has changed in her intent. Something has changed in her focus. Something has changed in her state of mind. Something has changed in her objective, her desire, and her priority. Here she comes with her water pot to draw water. And that water pot is a picture of the temporal. It is a picture of the duties of life, the responsibilities and the tasks of everyday life. And the fact that she left the water pot is indicative of the fact that her perspective has changed. Her perspective has changed. You see, there is a change in the relative position of the water pot in her life. That water pot is now not as important as it was when she came to the well to draw water. It's not as important anymore. There's been a change. There's been a change in her view. There's been a change in her perspective upon water pots. There's also been a change in her knowledge. Again, between verse 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. In verse 28, the woman left her water pot. Between those two statements is the salvation of her soul. Between those two statements, she came to realize the gift of God, and she came to realize who Jesus is. When she first arrived at the well, she saw Jesus, but she referred to him as a Jew. That's all she saw. Verse 10, Jesus said to her, "If thou knew, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, thou wouldest have." In other words, "Ma'am, if you knew the salvation that I came to bring about, and if you knew who I am, you would act differently. It would affect your life." And by the time you get to she left her water pot, she knows. She knows that he's more than a Jew. He's the Christ. And this explains why she left her water pot. Because of what she came to know. When she came to that well to draw water, her life is just mundane. Just an ordinary life. Her life is dominated and controlled and defined by the mundane and the ordinary duties of life. But now she knows. Now she knows. Notice verse 29. She went in verse 28, she went into the city. "Come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" She knows. Christ has captivated her heart. Christ has captivated her mind. She has left the water pot. The water pot is no longer utmost in her mind. Drawing water from Jacob's well is not the uttermost part of her mind. But now what's uttermost in her mind is Christ. And she goes into the city, shouting, "Come see a man." And you can picture the passion in her heart, the animation upon her face, the excitement in her voice, as she says to everyone that she can possibly talk to, "Come see a man." Is not this the Christ? You see, your perception of Christ has changed. He's no longer just a Jew. He's Christ. She went from verse 9, thou being a Jew, to verse 29, come see a man. Is not this the Christ? And when you get to verse 29, is she not living her life in relation to Christ? She is not living her life in relation to the water pot and drawing water from Jacob's well. She's living her life in relation to Christ. She has passion. She has resolve. Come see a man. Is not this the Christ? And when we meet Jesus, hear Him, see Him, know Him, and receive Him, we will live our lives in relation to Jesus Christ. That's Christianity. Christianity is living our lives in relation to Christ. Again, she came to the well to draw water. Her intent is to draw the water, return home, and just go through her daily routine. But everything changed when she met Christ. Her values changed. That water pot's no longer as valuable as it once was. Her main interest has changed. That what matters has changed. She left her water pot. We see her in verse 29. There's been a change in her priorities. Now, she didn't leave the water pot permanently. Life has to go on. She's still going to need that water pot because life goes on. Because there are earthly duties. But the relative position of the water pot has changed. The water pot is not as important as before. There's one more important, and that is Christ. Christianity is Jesus Christ being the most important that there is. It doesn't mean that other things aren't important. Other things are very important. But nothing's as important as Him. Nothing is as valuable as Him. This is Christianity. Those who know the salvation. Again, I'm not talking about knowing of. I'm talking about knowing. The salvation that is in Christ. And those who know who He is will manifest such in their lives. And they will no longer be dominated and controlled and defined by the mundane and the ordinary. Life is not what defines us. What defines us ought to be Christ. Those who know Christ captivates their hearts and their minds. Those who truly know have a different perception and a passion for Jesus Christ. Those who truly know do not live their lives strictly in relation to the temporal, but they live their lives in relation to Christ. Again, it's not that she didn't need the water pot anymore. But the water pot is different now. There's something more important than that essential tool, the water pot. And the Lord saved our souls. There was a change. It's not just some decision we made. The Lord did something to us. And ever since that day, it's not something that we can just pick up and put down anytime we please. It controls us. It dominates our life. I thank God that Jesus Christ dominates my life. That Jesus Christ dominates your life. That doesn't mean that we don't fail. We do. But He's the controlling factor. It's He that defines us. A Christian may be a plumber, may be a carpenter, may be a doctor, a nurse, whatever. But that's not what is to define a Christian. What is to define a Christian is Christ. That man was a good plumber. That man was a good carpenter. That woman was a good nurse or a good doctor or whatever. But more importantly, they were faithful to Christ. They knew Christ. They knew who He was. That's what is to define our lives. Again, there's so much here in John chapter 4. We pray, if you're here and lost, that you would come to know that salvation is in Christ, and that you would come to know who He is. And I'm here to tell you, that'll change your life. It'll change everything about it. It's a life-changing, life-altering event. We thank God for the salvation of each one who was here tonight and saved. We thank God, if you're here tonight and not saved, that there is one who does save, Jesus Christ. And it is He that we want to live for. Fail miserably in living for Him. But I am saved. I know that for sure. And it has changed my life. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.